Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, January the 20th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us another opportunity today to come to continue our study of your word. As we look around us and we see the things that are happening, we thank you for all that you continue to teach and the strength that you give us to endure. We ask that you would continue to prepare us for that which is to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been looking at some of the things that have been happening to churches, and we've been looking at some of the challenges that the Adventist Church has been facing in certain parts of the world. But I'd like to take us back to something that happened in Germany. Oh, I'm sorry, not in Germany, but in Russia. And it is important that we understand the context of this so that we might be able to be prepared for that which is to come across the entire world. I'm sure that you are aware of the fact that the Russian government has banned the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I'd like to share an article with you that was published back on December 2017 that describes the situation. You'll find the article in the Liberty Magazine website. Liberty Magazine website. The article was written by Clifford Goldstein. And I'm sure you know that he was a previous editor of Liberty. He now edits Bible study lessons for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Clifford Goldstein, again, is the writer of the article and is found in the Liberty website. And the title of the article is The Case of the Banned Church. The Case of the Banned Church, published December 2017. Here's the article. It has been said cynically enough that the 20th century didn't begin on January the 1st, 1900, but on July the 28th, 1914. That was when World War I officially started, the worst bloodbath in history up to that point, only to be exceeded a few decades later by World War II. But 1914 wasn't merely the beginning of World War I. According to some Bible students studying the Old Testament book of Daniel, 1914 was the year that the Battle of Armageddon was to have ended. The year the time of trouble of the Gentiles was to have ended. The year that false Christianity was to have been eradicated. The year that all kingdoms of the world were to have been finished. The year that Jesus was to set up his kingdom on earth. And finally, 1914 was to be the year that all the saints from antiquity onward were going to be resurrected from the dead. No question. No matter how momentous 1914 was, it was not because of any of these predicted events which were said to be going to occur. None of them did. Of course, this was not the first nor last time that Bible students making predictions about future events lived to see the predicted events fail when dates came and went. In fact, the religion that made these predictions, Jehovah's Witnesses, kept on going despite the failures, to where today there are more than 8 million worldwide. And though generally one doesn't hear too much about Jehovah's Witnesses, they made international news in 2017 because in April of that year, the Russian government outlawed the entire religion, which means that practicing this faith is now deemed a crime, punishment by fines, and possibly jail time. Now in the 21st century, after all the religious persecutions of the past ones, could be a modern nation, a world nuclear power, ban an entire religion faith, one that has been around since the 19th century? And this, to a faith that no matter how strange its beliefs, is known for the most part as quite pacifist and quite disengaged from national politics, regardless of whatever country they reside in? The answer is, unfortunately, yes. Though those following religious freedom trends in Russia saw it coming, suddenly in April this year, such headlines as the following appeared. British government alarmed at Russian ban on extremist Jehovah's Witnesses. Russia just effectively banned Jehovah's Witnesses from the country, says the Washington Post. Russia's Supreme Court bans Jehovah's Witnesses, says Fox News. Jehovah's Witnesses banned in Russia for extremist activity, says NBC News. Why would a whole religion, just on the basis of its being a religion, be outlawed? Behind it all is the old idea of fear about national security and about threats to a nation as an excuse to curtail human rights. The Russians have, like many countries, faced the scourge of Islamic extremist terrorism, having been the victims of numerous attacks, many often linked to its actions in Chechnya. In response, the national government has passed various anti-terrorism, anti-extremist laws in order to try to deal with the threat. The latest version, known as the Yakovra Law, includes new police and counterterrorism measures that some fear echo the time the KGB, the Russian secret police, ran roughshod over human rights in former Soviet Union. According to watchdog agencies, the latest laws can place a host of new restrictions on religious groups, particularly small ones, that were imported to Russia from overseas. The new law, warned Thomas Rees, who heads the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, will make it easier for Russian authorities to repress religious communities, stifle peaceful dissent, and detain and imprison people. He warned, too, that neither these measures nor the currently existing anti-extremism law meet international human rights and religious freedom standards. Most Americans, particularly both those born and raised here, take religious freedom for granted. That's all we've known. But for most of human history, most of humanity hasn't experienced the kind of religious freedom that we have in the United States. And Russia is, certainly, no exception. Even before the oppression of faith under the dogmatic atheism of the Soviets, Tsarist Russia was hardly a bastion of religious liberty. The Russian Orthodox Church, the state church, worked in tandem with the Tsarist government to suppress non-Russian Orthodox faiths. Based on ancient animosities between Eastern and Western Christianity that went back many centuries to the Great Schism, the Russian Orthodox Church saw Roman Catholicism even more than the Protestant sects as perhaps its bitterest rival. This hatred had been most powerfully represented in some of the writings in the 19th century. However, after the success of the Bolshevik Revolution, the Russian Orthodox Church itself was persecuted by the atheist regime, sometimes quite fiercely, as it was potentially a greater threat to communism than were most other faiths. With, however, the collapse of the Soviet Union, the Russian Orthodox Church has now flourished. About two-thirds of the country adheres to that faith. In contrast to Western Europe, whose churches are all but empty on Sunday, Russian Orthodox churches are filled. The reasons are many, but an important one is that Russian Orthodoxy is clearly linked with the resurgence of Russian nationalism, a key to President Putin's political popularity and power. Russian nationalism has been, and is now again, most clearly expressed through and in the Russian Orthodox Church, essentially the National Church of Russia, since, some would argue, the 10th century AD. Though the other main faiths, Judaism, Islam, and Buddhism, are left alone, it's the smaller religions, those coming from outside Russia, that have started to face repression, especially from the newest anti-terrorism laws, which the Russian Orthodox Church backs strongly. Between legitimate fear of terrorism, the power of the Russian Orthodox Church, and resurgent nationalism, these smaller faiths are feeling the crunch. Especially now, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Though like other faiths, Jehovah's Witnesses faced persecution under the Soviets, even after the collapse of communism, they have struggled with the legal challenges. In Russia, as elsewhere, the only contact most people have with the Witnesses is through their rather ubiquitous literature program, in which they distribute booklets and pamphlets, many of which pretty much denounce everyone and everything except their own faith. And ever since the tightening up of anti-terrorism and anti-extremism laws, their booklets and pamphlets have been deemed extremist. Since 2015, in various places around the country, local branches of Jehovah have been fined or banned or both on charges of distributing extremist literature. This has resulted in raids on various Jehovah's Witnesses meeting places, the confiscation of property, and the banning of meetings. A couple of months ago, said an article in The Guardian, the Russian police raided a branch of the Jehovah's Witnesses and discovered extremist literature. Jehovah's Witnesses described the incident thus: masked special police disrupted a religious meeting and planted literature under a chair in the presence of the attendees. The police ordered the place to be permanently closed. Things came to a head in 2017 when Russia's Ministry of Justice declared the Jehovah's Witness National Headquarters in St. Petersburg an extremist organization. In April, the Russian Supreme Court dismissed a countersuit filed by the Jehovah's Witnesses seeking to declare the Ministry of Justice action as unlawful, and the case was heard at the Russian Supreme Court in April. Within 2 weeks, the court ruled in favor of the government and declared the entire Jehovah's Witnesses faith and their adherents extremists. A lawyer for Russian Justice Ministry told the court that Jehovah's Witnesses pose a threat to the rights of the citizens, the rights to public order, and public security. The ruling effectively banned the religion from being practiced in Russia. Overnight, 175,000 Russians have had their faith deemed illegal, their churches closed, their assets seized, and all church activities halted. Those found in defiance of the ruling face criminal penalties, including prison. This action, however shocking, was the culmination of years, even decades, of harassment by the Kremlin, which had earlier launched a legal effort, now aided by the new anti-terrorism and anti-extremism laws, to ban the faith once and for all. With the April ruling, it finally deemed itself successful in the project. After 6 days of hearing, said the Washington Post, the Supreme Court sided with the government on Thursday. They ruled that the group's St. Petersburg headquarters and 395 churches could be seized and liquidated. All church activities, including worship and door-to-door evangelizing, were banned. Those who defy the ruling face a fine of several thousand dollars and 6 to 10 years in prison. Of course, this is hardly the first time Jehovah's Witnesses have faced persecution. What Is it about this little group that often catches the ire of governments? While Jehovah's Witnesses do have beliefs that put them decidedly out of the mainstream of Christianity, it's not their beliefs, per se, that gets them into trouble, but how they put some of them into practice. One of the strangest is their refusal to accept even many of, in medical emergencies, blood transfusions. Citing such texts as Leviticus 17, 14, "For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood thereof. Whereof eateth it shall be cut off." They are adamant about not allowing blood transfusions, even if a life is at stake. Regardless of however bad, most theologians would agree that this theology is, this position has, at times, brought Jehovah's Witnesses into conflict with laws, especially in cases of minors whose lives might be at risk without a blood transfusion. It's one thing when a 40-year-old refrains from a treatment that could risk his or her life. It's another when someone, based on a very dubious reading of scripture, withholds a potentially life-saving procedure from a 3-year-old. Perhaps even more problematic has been their stand about governments in general. Believing that they belong only to God's kingdom, they openly try to avoid politics as much as possible. Says their official website, Jehovah's Witnesses remain politically neutral for religious reasons, based on what the Bible teaches. We do not lobby, vote for political parties or candidates, run for government office, or participate in any action to change governments. We believe that the Bible gives solid reasons for following this course. Most governments, oppressive ones in particular, would find the position that they don't participate in any action to change governments to be exactly the kind of compliant citizenship that they want. Yet, compliant isn't always a word that accurately describes the Jehovah's Witnesses' attitude toward government. The Jehovah's Witnesses' refusal to join the military, for instance, hasn't always gone over well. Usually in nations in which the law demands that participation, and especially in times of war, when many Jehovah's Witnesses' young men have gone to jail because of their refusal to join the military. The Jehovah's Witnesses faced problems in the United States in the 1940s, when in an infamous U.S. Supreme Court decision, the High Court ruled that public schools could compel students to salute the American flag and recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Two practices that many Jehovah's Witnesses, based on their attitude towards earthly kingdoms, do not do. After the ruling, mobs attacked their churches, called Kingdom Halls. Some members were beaten. Some were jailed. Some were run out of town. The American Civil Liberties Union, along with many editorials around the country, condemned the decision as a terrible blow to religious liberty and to the freedom of conscience. According to the ACLU, more than 1,500 witnesses were physically attacked in more than 300 communities nationwide. 3 years later, partly in response to the violence, the United States Supreme Court reversed the decision, in which the majority opinion expressed these infamous words: "If there is any fixed star in our constitutional constellation, it is that no official, high or petty, can prescribe what shall be orthodox in politics, nationalism, religion, or other matters of opinion." In Nazi Germany, Jehovah's Witnesses' refusal to join the military, participate in Nazi organizations, or pledge allegiance to Hitler led to systematic persecution, with thousands jailed or placed in concentration camps. It has been estimated that 10,000 Jehovah's Witnesses were at one point incarcerated and that 1,200 died in the camps, with about 250 executed. They were the first Christian denomination to be banned, and perhaps they were treated more fiercely than any other Christian group during the Nazi years. From Canada to Cuba, to France, to Singapore, to South Africa, witnesses have faced persecution, often because of their refusal to do military service, but also because many times their literature has been deemed as inflammatory or radical or unpatriotic, or, as in the recent situation in Russia, extremist, a label that helped lead to the recent court decision. Though lawyers for the Jehovah's Witnesses say they plan to appeal the ruling or even to go to the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg, at present the situation doesn't look promising for them. Well, that gives you quite a bit of a statement there, and quite a description. And you notice where we ended with this and a discussion on how the Jehovah's Witnesses were treated in Germany during the Second World War, during the rise of the Nazis. In our next session, we will continue to talk about what happened during the Second World War. We've dealt with it before, but I would like to deal with it as we continue to take a look at some of the decisions that were made by some of the organizations during the Second World War, during the rise of the Nazis. This church has been banned. It's been banned in Germany. It's been banned in Russia. It's been persecuted in many other places, as we have listed some of those places. And I want you to know that it has to do with their belief system and the things that they embrace, or the things that they do not embrace. It is sort of typical of what will happen to those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, today we thank you that you continue to give us example after example of the things that are before us. We ask you, Lord, to give us the strength that is necessary to stand, so that we might be convicted of the truth so deeply and rooted in it that we will be immovable. We ask that you would give us the strength that we need each day as we go forward step by step. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again today, we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study, and we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been your Daily Briefing, January the 20th, 2021.